Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read verse 32 to 34. Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Amen. We know that the Lord will again bless the reading of his word to your hearts. We'll bow just in a brief word of prayer as we come around his word this evening. Our gracious Father, we thank thee today for all of thy provision for us. We thank thee for the bringing in of the tithes and offerings into God's storehouse. And we pray that these gifts that have been given will be used for the furtherance of the gospel and for the building up of the saints of God in this place. And we ask of thee now as we come to thy word that thou would be pleased to give us help from heaven. We thank thee for help that has been given on past occasions, but Lord, we sense our need afresh of thee, and Lord, we need thee to come and to take these words and apply them to our hearts. And we pray tonight that thou will be pleased to take us weak, and that we by faith will be made strong. And come and grant us thy help then, in our Lord's name we pray. Amen. Amen. And so it is this little clause in verse 34, out of weakness were made strong. Who through faith, out of weakness, were made strong? The death of King Edward in 1553 exposed Archbishop Thomas Cranmer to all of the fury of his enemies. And though Cranmer had actually initially supported the accession of Mary to the throne, he had failed to discern that there was this great rage in her heart against his love for Reformation truth. And Cranmer was imprisoned for 3 years. During that time, he was treated most cruelly. Some historians say that during that time that Cranmer was greatly broken, and that at times he wavered in his faith. Towards the end of that time, there were great efforts being placed upon him to recant. And there were some promises given to him that if he recanted, that he would be restored to the archbishopric again. And so a number of papers were brought to Cranmer to sign, that led to him ultimately signing the following: I, Thomas Cranmer, late Archbishop of Canterbury, do renounce, abhor, and detest all manner of heresies and errors of Luther and Zwingli, and all other teachings which are contrary to sound and to true doctrine. And I believe most constantly in my heart, and with my mouth I confess one holy and Catholic Church visible, without which there be no salvation. And therefore I acknowledge the Bishop of Rome to be supreme head on earth, whom I acknowledge to be the highest bishop and pope, and Christ's vicar, and whom all Christian people ought to be subject. And when Thomas Cranmer signed that terrible paper, the papists rejoiced in their triumph, or triumph as they so thought, and copies of his recantation then were spread, dispersed. Mary actually had no intention of releasing Cranmer, and it all been then a cruel plot. She was intent on burning him. So a great gathering was held. A sermon was preached against Protestantism, and his recantations were to be read out. Cranmer surprised that gathering by speaking out. And he said, "For as much as my hand hath offended, writing contrary to my heart, therefore my hand shall first be punished. For when I come to the fire, it shall first be burnt. And as for the Pope, I refuse him as Christ's enemy." and Antichrist with all his false doctrine. And you can imagine how the Romanists in that gathering were greatly taken by surprise, and what they thought was their hour of victory suddenly became an hour for them of great shame. Cranmer was taken to be burned, but as he was burning, he repeatedly said, "This unworthy hand, this unworthy hand." And he was a man then that had known weakness. And in his hour of weakness, he offended. In his hour of weakness, he took a stand, not for truth, but for heresy. But by faith, out of weakness, he was made strong. And he was a man then that entered into the experience of the truth of this text. By faith, out of weakness, he was made strong. Paul, who I believe was the writer of the book of Hebrews, had experienced the truth of these words himself in 2 Timothy 4. And Paul spoke there of how he had experienced loneliness. Remember how some had moved on to minister elsewhere, and some had deserted him. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:17, Notwithstanding this loneliness, the Lord stood with me and strengthened with me. And so then, out of weakness, Paul was made strong. And having experienced that, he was able to exhort others that they would be made strong as well. And so he said to Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son," this was in 2 Timothy 2:1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong." And it's actually this same Greek phrase, "my son, be made strong." Out of your weakness, the weakness of youth, be made strong. And these words then are so relevant for us all. The weak being made strong by faith. I want to say first of all here the prevalence of weakness. For as we have looked at some of these clauses in these verses 33 and 34 thus far, we've seen that some of them are limited to one or two individuals as far as their literal interpretation is concerned. But surely that is not true concerning this one. Out of weakness were made strong. This statement applies to many of the men that are listed there in verse 32 and many more beside: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and of the prophets. And so if we're to take the first one there, Gideon, you think of the first occasion as the angel of the Lord appeared before him. The introduction, I should say, to when we meet with Gideon in Scripture. Remember how the Lord found him there. The Lord found him weak because he was afraid. He was gathering his harvest to hide it from the enemy. And we think of Gideon so often, there was reluctance in his heart. But by faith, he was made strong. The man that recognized his weakness was strengthened. He went out against the Midianite host with only 300 men. And then we can think of Barak. He certainly had great timidity. Remember how, when there was that battle confronting him, he refused to go without Deborah. And there was that weakness then, that timidity. Yet he was made strong. Judges 4:16. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host, and all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Out of weakness, he was made strong. Or we could think of Samson, as we see him in the latter part of his life, when he was in the prison, as he was grinding, find him there in weakness. Or that occasion when he was brought out to that great feast to make sport, and he was standing there between the pillars, a very pathetic picture, weak, yet by faith, out of weakness, he was made strong, enabled to push down those pillars. Come then to Jephthah,
He had experienced the weakness of rejection. Remember how his family cast him out. They didn't want anything to do with him. And the only men that gathered around Jephthah are described as vain men, worthless men. What an image of weakness. Yet out of weakness he was made strong. And then we read of David. Remember how the Lord took David when he was only a young man, just a lad. And yet though he was young, though he was weak, out of weakness he was made strong. And you think of how David himself testifies of many times of sore discouragement, many times of depression, many times of spiritual weakness, mental weakness, mental infirmity. Yet out of all of that, David was made strong. Then Samuel, again a young man in the temple, he was weak, yet he was made strong. And so this malady of weakness, this infirmity, is one that is prevalent among the people of God. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes the Lord's people are physically ill. They have bodily infirmity or bodily deformity. And out of weakness they can be made strong. Sometimes it's emotional. Often it is spiritual. And how many of God's people find themselves weak in knowledge? They cannot comprehend all that they read in God's word. Some are weak in love. Their love for the Lord is weak. Sometimes their love for the word is weak. Sometimes their love for prayer is weak. Sometimes their love for the work of God or their love for the brethren is weak. And yet out of weakness they can be made strong. Some are weak in faith itself. They lack confidence that the Lord will fulfill his promises. Some are weak in joy. And so while they ought to rejoice in their salvation instead, they at times are full of despair. And they are feeling the weight of their sin and their unworthiness. Some are weak in zeal. Some are weak in repentance. They struggle to give up indwelling sin. Some are weak in their surrender to God. Some are weak in resisting temptation. Some are weak in self-knowledge. That is, they fail to see the pride of their own heart. They fail to see their own weakness. How many of God's people then are weak? How can we summarize all of those problems? Surely we can say that we are weak everywhere where we ought to be strong. We are weak everywhere where we ought to be strong. So the child of God ought to be strong, but so often we're like the Christians at the church at Philadelphia. Remember how the Lord said you have a little strength. A little strength, that is, strength is so little, you're full of weakness. And some of that weakness is because of our natural infirmity. And that is, we are but men. We are creatures of dust. And the Lord remembers our frame. He knows our frame. Then so often our weakness is because of sin and the awful effects that sin has upon us. Child of God, if you can identify with this weakness that I have been mentioning, surely here you can take great encouragement that these great saints of bygone day, you look at them and you see examples of strength and examples of vigor. It was not always so. Very often they felt just as you feel right now. They felt full of weakness. Yet out of weakness they were made strong. Surely there's an application here also in how we are to deal with those who are weak. So you see a child of God that is weak, and how are we to respond to them? We're certainly not to cast them off. We are not to despise them for their weakness, for that's not what the Lord does. It's the Lord's purpose that those that are weak would be strengthened. Romans 14:4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
And let us not then judge the weak brother. Let us desire that we would be taken of God and used to help them, and that God would make them stand. And Spurgeon, as he talked about the church, he said very often, it looks more like an infirmary than a camp of brave soldiers. We recognize that we ought to look like a camp of brave soldiers, where it's not like that. We are to look in compassion upon our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to see them as the Lord sees them. Remember how in the prophecy of Isaiah 42 verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And surely if there are images of weakness, there it is. A bruised reed. A smoking flax, the flame is almost gone. The Lord does not blow it out, but brings it back into a flame again. You remember when Peter was weak, that time when he denied the Lord three times, the Lord restored him. When the Lord restored Peter, remember how the Lord said to him, feed my sheep. But before the Lord said, feed my sheep, the Lord said to him, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. Surely the Lord was saying, feed my weak ones. And it really was the fulfillment of what the Lord had said before his own death. The Lord said in Luke 22:32, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, strengthen your brethren. As you have experienced weakness, and Peter was one that trusted in his own strength and he came to see how. Having gone through that experience, the Lord said, you strengthen your brethren. So we see here the prevalence of weakness. I want to see then, secondly, the prescription for weakness. For back in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence of things not seen. And earlier in these studies then we considered the importance of the invisible in the life of the child of God who is walking by faith. Now weakness is something that we can see. But these men were made strong by viewing the invisible. They were made strong by viewing the invisible. I want to show you a few examples of this. If we turn to Judges chapter 6, we'll think for a few moments about Gideon. Judges chapter 6 and the verse 21. And here we have this weak man then. And he came before the angel of the Lord, bringing the flour, and then bringing the broth and the kid, and it was presented before the Lord as a meal, but then it became a sacrifice, because in verse 21, then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And verse 24, Gideon built an altar. And then verse 25, he goes to destroy the altar that his father had erected, that is, the altar for Baal. Thinking then of Gideon, he was a man that, as I said, we're introduced to in weakness. But why was he suddenly stirred up to action? Why was he suddenly stirred up to courage? because he had this vision of the cross. And there was this picture presented to him of the cross. And for there was a meal that was presented, but it became a sacrifice. There was then this truth of substitution being presented to him. And as that meal was consumed, the Lord said, "Fear not." Because there was this substitute. Gideon was not destroyed. Rather, the wrath was poured out on the substitute instead. And if we are to be made strong, here is where our attention must be brought. We must be brought to view Calvary. We must continually have our eyes fixed in that wonderful truth of Christ dying in my place. We will be made strong. Wasn't that the experience of the Christians in the early church? And that as they had witnessed the cross and resurrection, they were given this new zeal, given this new strength to go out and serve the Lord. If you look in Judges chapter 7, again we're thinking here of Gideon, in Judges chapter 7, and there was reluctance here on Gideon's part to go against the Midianite host. And in verse 13, when Gideon was come, "Behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along." Now, the cake of barley bread, and when it says there a cake, it's not speaking of a great loaf, it's more like crust, a crust of barley bread. The barley bread is a picture of Gideon himself. The Lord was going to take him, and through Gideon and his men, the Lord was going to bring a victory. But the barley bread, I believe, is also a picture of Jesus Christ. The barley loaf was one that was despised. It was seen as inferior to other breads. And here was this little crust, as it were, despised, but it rolled down the hill and destroyed the tents. And surely it speaks to us of then Christ, though despised by men, he came and destroyed the works of the devil. He destroyed the power of darkness. We are then to see our own weakness, but our eyes are to be taken to the one in whom is great power. And as we see him and the effectiveness of his work, the Lord will take us and make us strong. If you move on then a few pages to chapter 16, and we'll think for a moment or two about Samson. Judges chapter 16 and verse 21. And Judges 16, verse 21. "But the Philistines took him, and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." And then he is brought into this house where the great feast is taking place. Verse 25, "It came to pass when their hearts were merry, that they said, Call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." And as I mentioned earlier, surely we have here an image of great weakness. Now, it has been pointed out that Samson never saw so well until his eyes were put out. He never saw so well until his eyes were put out, because remember, his eyes were a problem for him. So in the life of Samson, we read of how he looked upon women, and he looked favourably upon the ungodly. His eyes so often resulted in sin. But now, without physical eyes, spiritual eyes are opened. And so then, this man without eyes begins to see better than he had ever done before. And this is evident in verse 28. "Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He says, strengthen me.
Surely as he said, strengthen me, there was a confession, Lord, I am weak. Perhaps it's never been his confession before,
but he confesses it now. I am weak, and I am weak because of my sin. Because he says there, remember me. The truth was, of course, the Lord had never forgotten.
Samson was now remembering the Lord.
The Samson remembered the Lord, he said, remember me. Strengthen me. And what is the answer in our weakness? We are like Samson to come and confess, I am weak. And I am weak because of my sin. I am weak because of my waywardness. I am weak because I have departed from the ways of the Lord. Remember me, O Lord. Strengthen me. And in Samson's prayer, he prayed for vindication. At the end of the verse 28, he says that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Now some look at that last part of the prayer and they view it as a fatal flaw in Samson's prayer. That is, they say that Samson was going back to being a selfish man again and that he was only out for a personal revenge. That's not the view that I take of those words. Now, I believe as Samson prayed concerning the avenging of his eyes, he was praying about the avenging of the Lord's cause. And he recognized that he was God's man. He recognized, despite his own frailty, as far as being a faithful servant was concerned, that he was God's chosen. He was God's anointed. And the wicked had dealt in a despicable way then with God's man. And that being the case then,
Samson he prays, avenge me for my eyes.
Avenge thine own cause. And Samson's desire then, that he might destroy that great building, and knowing that he would die in that destruction, he desired that God's name would be honored, that God's name would be glorified in that. Again then, why does the Christian pray for strength to come out of weakness? That the Lord might vindicate his cause. You think of those well-known words in 1 Corinthians 1:27. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And when you feel weak, you ought to think of those words. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound them that are mighty. And as you feel your weakness, pray like Samson, Lord, vindicate thy cause. Take me, despite all of my weakness. Make me strong, that your unchanging purpose might be demonstrated even in my life. I want to think of another illustration here, of one that was made strong, thinking this time of Samuel. And again, if you turn over another few pages to 1 Samuel 3, and 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now remember, prior to the Lord calling Samuel in the temple, Samuel did not know the Lord. The word of the Lord was not revealed unto him. And so he had a very godly upbringing. And he had been put in a good place, put in the temple. And he was good, doing a good thing, serving the Lord there. Even though the word of the Lord was not yet revealed to him. And he didn't yet know the Lord. Now, all of those good circumstances hadn't changed his heart. But then on this night, the Lord spoke to him. And Samuel heard God's voice. And if you look with me in verse 15. So Samuel has heard the voice of the Lord. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision.
Now you think here of how it's plainly said, Samuel didn't yet know the Lord. But the Lord has now spoken to him. The Lord has now revealed himself to Samuel. Surely we are to view Samuel then as a new convert. And how do we find this new convert? We find this new convert in weakness. He was afraid to say the thing that had been revealed to him. And he knew then the truth of God's word, but he was afraid to declare it. How many young converts can identify with that?
Yea, how many that have walked with the Lord a long time can identify with that? They know the truth of the word, yet they're afraid to share it. They're afraid to make it known. And so Eli reproved him. Eli says in verse 17, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he has said unto thee. And then verse 18, Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him.
Samuel told all. So then, in verse 16, speaks of Samuel in weakness. Verse 18, Samuel has been made strong. By faith,
he was made strong. Now, how was it that Samuel moved from weakness to strength? I believe Samuel was brought to consider the judgment seat of Christ. When you think of what Eli had said to him, it was evidently the words of Eli that the Lord took to stir Samuel's heart afresh. Hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he has said unto thee.
Remember how the Lord had made it clear to Samuel, I have seen thy sin. I have reproved Eli for failing to deal with his sons. And there are consequences that will follow.
And so Eli, he emphasizes to Samuel,
if you don't tell, you'll have to give account. Samuel was considering
the judgment seat of Christ, and as he thought about that, out of weakness he was made strong. Romans 14:10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
And recognizing then that we will give an account, as we see our weakness, it must be our desire that the Lord would strengthen us.
We confess our weakness. We pray for strengthening, so that on that day as we stand in that judgment seat, that we'll hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And praise God then, there is a physician to overcome our infirmity. What is the prescription for weakness? It is that our minds would be taken Christ and his cross, fixed on him, and fixed in the fact that we will stand before him out of weakness, then we shall be made strong. I want to see then finally not only the prevalence of weakness, the prescription for weakness, but the potency out of weakness. Now, for when we have these words, out of weakness we're made strong, the word strong there comes from the Hebrew word dunamis, or power. The word from which we get our word dynamite. Out of weakness, made powerful. So it wasn't just that out of weakness they were made less weak. Out of weakness they became powerful. Thinking of some of those examples, Samuel, what a mighty man of God. David, again, what a mighty man of God. Peter, though he had failed in weakness, how mightily the Lord took him and used him. If you look with me, please, in Romans chapter 4. I mentioned these words in the message this morning in another context. But in Romans chapter 4 and the verse 20. Romans chapter 4 and the verse 20. Abraham staggered not, as I mentioned this morning, the word there is doubted. He doubted not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. The word there, strong, it's actually the same Greek verb,
made strong or strengthened. He was not only strong in faith,
but Abraham was made strong in faith. And so Abraham was a weak man. You think of his unbelief when he went down to Egypt, not waiting on God. You think his unbelief when he took Hagar as a wife, not trusting that the Lord would give the son that he had promised.
Yet, out of weakness,
Abraham was made strong. And how strong he was made. Or we could think of Moses. He had that natural timidity. He talked about being slow of speech.
Whenever he and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, there's not much evidence there of him being slow of speech. How strong he had been made.
Or we think of when Aaron made the golden calf. Again, he wasn't slow in speech there to Aaron. He reproved him most strongly. Out of weakness he was made strong, and how potent that strength was. J.R. Miller said, "Prosperity has not enriched the world as adversity has done." Surely that is true in relation to this matter of weakness. Out of weakness in the midst of adversity, how potent our strength can become. I mentioned Peter, how the Lord said that, "I pray that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he did so. Surely it is our need that we would rise up and that we would be strong. Ephesians 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Again, it's actually this same Greek verb, "be made strong." "Finally, brethren, be strengthened," because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We need power, Paul said, "take the armor. Have Christ appropriated to you. You see that in him there is victory. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." May we know the strengthening hand of God. By faith may we be made strong. Trust the Lord to take his word and bless it to all of our hearts.